Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If you go to our website right now, wbur.org, and click on The Artery, you'll find a special list, the 50 best works of public art in Boston, ranked by WBUR arts reporter Greg Cook. We met Greg yesterday at a mural that came in at number 21.
We're in Roxbury on Warren Street at the corner of Clifford Street, near the McDonald's, and there's the Roxbury YMCA is a few blocks that way. That's also where the Caribbean Carnival Parade started last weekend.
Yeah. And we're standing in front of this magnificent, 100 feet long mural?
Yeah.
With a portrait of Nelson Mandela right in the middle of it. And on either side it says Roxbury Love. Where did this rank on your list of 50 best works of public art in Boston?
I put it at 21.
At 21. Okay.
Yes.
And why did this one even make the list?
I think it's an amazing mural. It's really striking, its scale and what it says, but it's also what it says about Boston. The two artists, they're Richard Gomez, who goes by Deem 5, and Thomas Burns, who goes by Quest. They painted it 2 years ago, and they said, in part, it's a statement of pride in Black Boston. It's also a statement to Black Boston. Gomez tells me, he says, it's a message to the community to think before they act, to love instead of hate. But then it's also this really interesting connection of Boston and Mandela and what that means to the city. Boston and Massachusetts was one of the early supporters of the anti-apartheid movement, so they also were referencing that. And he came here in 1990, right after he was freed from 27 years in prison, thank Boston, and then to begin his successful campaign run to become president. It's also, there's this really interesting thing in 1986, Roxbury made an attempt to secede from Boston because people felt they weren't, African-Americans in Boston felt they weren't, they were sort of being neglected by the city. And so there was a ballot measure to secede, and if they didn't end up winning, and it became national news, this whole effort, but if they seceded, the name they wanted to call themselves was going to be Mandela.
So what is it, do you think, that it is about murals that makes them such effective or evocative forms of public art?
They're cheaper and faster to put up, and so you see these murals springing up all over the city, and it's different from downtown is all this bronze forever things, and that's partly the frustration people have of that they're so expensive and they take so long. The murals, you can put them up quickly, you can have an idea and get it done within a year or within a few months, or if you don't have permission, within a day, or something like that.
So right.
One of the things with this list is to try to look beyond downtown to sort of find public art that's not just the bronze dead men downtown, which is sort of a complaint many people. And we do have some great bronze dead white guys downtown. But coming here to Roxbury, there's amazing art all over our communities. And it also tells, this one, stories about Boston that often aren't told. That story about the effort to secede is, mostly forgotten. Part of the goal of this thing was to sort of look outside of just the downtown and see what else we're missing and see the amazing things that are happening in all the different neighborhoods of Boston.
Well, that's WBUR arts reporter Greg Cook. Greg's ranked the 50 best works of public art in Boston. And joining us now are two artists on the list, Mags Harries, who did the glove cycle work in the Porter Square tea stop in Cambridge. It's number 49 on the list. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And thank you for being the force behind making that long escalator trip so delightful for so many years. Also joining us is David Fichter. He and some young people began the Mystic River mural in Somerville in 1996. And they continue to add to it every summer. It's number 33 on the list. David, welcome to you.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, Meg.
Hi, David.
Well, it's great to have you both. Let me just first start by getting your reaction to the list of 50 that WBUR has created. Mags, what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's provocative. I think it's created dialogue. I think that's absolutely fabulous. I'm unhappy to be 49th on the list, but I'm happy I made the list. So, there's a mixed thing there. But, it's something that we should talk about. Boston is very, very, there's 500% for art programs in the country, and Boston doesn't have one.
Yeah. Now, provocative, the list, you found it provocative. Why?
Oh, because there were... It's a very subjective list, and certainly some things are just, you know, not what I would call art or not with the intention of the artist. But, you know, I think that's okay.
Okay.
I think that's fine.
Well, hold that thought for a second, because I want to get to David's first reactions to the 50 list. What did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun looking through it. Again, I'm sure if I were to make the list, I probably wouldn't necessarily have the same exact ones. I mean, a great piece that I was missing was the Harriet Tubman bronze that Fern Cunningham did. But there's a lot of wonderful things on there, and I sort of enjoyed the provocative nature of including things like the orange dinosaur, I guess it was, which I actually have never seen, but which were probably not done as originally as a work of art, more as a kind of commercial enticement. But because they're beloved, have taken on more of a sort of sense through time. They've got a patina of art about them, I think.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that Greg Cook told us is that he sort of intended to provoke with this list a little bit by, and one of his goals was to sort of expand what Bostonians think of as public art. Greg told us it may not have, some of the pieces may not have began as exclusively works of art, public or not, but become landmarks and therefore meaningful to a community, which he says that in and of itself is one of the functions of public art, and he'd like to see more of that in Greater Boston. And Mags, I'm wondering what you think of that, because I do feel like, I mean, you mentioned Boston in terms of financing in comparison to other cities, that we're trying to get there, but we still have the same as much financing, and then maybe still a somewhat limited view of what public art, quote unquote, should be.
Yeah, it's been very limiting, and it's been very interesting in the last year or two how that has opened up and changed. And I think that's partly because they are temporary works, so there's not the kind of reaction that, oh my God, you know, we have to live with this. So I think, you know, the JR piece was absolutely fabulous. The murals in the Greenway are fabulous. Yeah. Janet Eckelman, it's great.
That
it's
was
great
one of my recent favorites, absolutely. Yeah. Talk about transforming your vision of the sky. David, what kind of things would you like to see more of?
Are you talking about on the list or just in general?
In general, you know, as we sort of seek to put more art, you know, in and around Greater Boston.
You know, I agree with what Meg's is saying about the limitations of funding, and not just the city, but also the state. I don't think has a percent for art, but I enjoy the work that bubbles up sort of from the bottom, and sometimes it's not so much dependent on funding as or a lot of funding, but more dependent on community support or kind of the guerrilla anarchical nature of its inception. And for example, the project that I've been doing on the Mystic mural has been going on for 20 years, and it's supported by the city of Somerville, but I think part of why it is because people have supported it so much that it's sort of kind of, there's a feedback loop that goes on.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's the only thing that's affecting, that's important, is not just the funding, it's also just the communities, the vitality of the communities that support the work is what really makes the work come about and come alive.
You know, Mags, in the last couple seconds that we have, because the time really does fly by, I mean, what do you think, you know, what's one key thing that you think the city or people should do to try and get more public art out into the streets of Greater Boston or on buildings?
Well, they can ask for it. I mean, that would be a major thing. Certainly, Baker was going to cut the arts funding, but we really have to get behind it and say, yeah, we're not a second-class city. We want the art, and we want it in the foremost in the city where we can really, you know, be proud of it.
And experience it every day.
Yeah.
Well, Mags Harris, Cambridge artist, she created the Glove Cycle in 1984 inside the Porter Square T-stop. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
And I'm sure on other people's lists, you're far higher than 49. And David Fichter, a Cambridge artist as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Go to WBUR.org for that list of the 50 best works of public art in around Greater Boston. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.